As we go through chapter 3, we're going to be talking about a key document called the Profit and Loss Statement. And I'm sure some of you listening to this tape are not even aware of what a Profit and Loss Statement is. And don't let it mystify you. It's one of the two basic documents we need when we're getting involved in business, either analyzing them or running the business. And one document is the Profit and Loss Statement, which is it making a profit? Is it showing a loss? And the other document is this document in the next section, which has to do with balance sheets, or it's the assets and the liabilities. In this section, we're going to start going through the area of the profit and or loss statement. And if you want an example of this, what I'd like you to do is just open your book and turn to page 3-7. Pull 3-7 or remove 3-7 from your book and close the rings, and then turn back to the first section, which is page 3-1. Not the first section, but first page in the section, 3-1. First of all, we have this business that's called a store, and you've probably noticed going through the program that we use different type businesses as we go through it. We're talking about manufacturing, we're talking about distributorships, we're talking about a service business here. And the reason we do that is you're going to find as you get involved in business that all businesses are basically the same. And although you may have this fantasy in the beginning about that being different, you're going to find there's very many similarities, especially in the area of the key documents like the profit and loss statement. And as you go through this one or in other parts of this program, you go through a manufacturing company, you'll see the key areas on the profit and loss statement that do vary. And what I'd like to do now is take the store here, and again, this happens to be a real business. No, this is not a business that I own, and the reason I'm not using in this example a business I have owned or worked on, because I needed a business that had fraud involved, because I'm going to be going through this, and I'm going to be showing you some of the tax problems you have from a standpoint of what the former owner is doing, and also where people are playing games and Mickey Mousing. Again, I'm not doing it from the standpoint of teaching you the Mickey Mouse, although you could do this with this information, but what I'm trying to do is show you what you're going to find when you're analyzing a business, either to list or to buy it. So just set down the store, and then by looking at 3-1, let's start going through the different information here and see what we have on this profit loss. First of all, we're talking about two different methods of accounting. We're talking about the cash method, we're talking about the accrual method. And what we're really talking about is how do we handle it from a tax standpoint. And the key thing that's going to be very disappointing to you as you get involved in businesses, if you're not already, is you're going to find that the average profit and loss statement never does tell what the business is doing. All we basically have on the profit and loss statement is a profit or loss that was set up to reflect the lowest possible net for tax purposes. And I've been in this business a long time, and as I tell many of you, I still have that place on my wall for the first honest profit and loss statement, and I still haven't seen it. I'm sure it exists, but I haven't seen it. The main reason being, of course, people do cheat on their profit and loss statements, but the other thing is, it is set up to reflect the tax line as opposed to representing to somebody what the business is making, which means we've destroyed over the last few years the profit and loss concept. When we start talking about cash basis of accounting, what we're saying is the owner of the business is able to write off their expenses as they pay them. In other words, you're not allowed to write them off as you incur them, as they happen. You're only allowed to write off your expenses as they are paid. So what we have here on the cash basis profit and loss, if you're looking at 3-1, we have $10,000 income in January 1980X. And at the same time during January, we paid $8,000 in expenses. These were the bills paid. So on the cash basis method, we would show a $2,000 profit, which would be what? Basically taxable at this point. Now this is a ripoff because bills paid in January are usually the December and November unpaid bills, rather than expenses incurred in January. And who are we ripping off? We're ripping off ourselves as business owners because we then assume that we had a $2,000 profit, and we didn't. Because what you have is you have the income of January minus the bills paid. And that is not a profit and loss statement. That's really a cash statement. Because what happens is it said you took in $10,000, you paid out $8,000, you have $2,000 left. That does not mean you made a profit. Because what you're going to find probably, as an example, in January, you'll take in $50, you won't pay any bills. What do? You show a profit. You're really not showing a profit. What you're really doing is showing that from if you take the money in, subtract the money that you sent out, you have X number of dollars left in your hands, which is more a relationship of how the cash is flowing through the business. And what you're going to have to find, you have to take on a profit and loss statement, you have to take the income or sales for the month and subtract the expenses for that month. Not for the bills paid, you have to subtract the expenses. If not, it is not going to reflect what the business really makes. But I want to tell you, as I tell everybody else in the United States, most of the business owners we run into that are on the cash basis are doing it wrong. Most of the business owners that we run into that are on the cash basis and doing it wrong are still very successful. They're making $10, $20, $50, $100, $200,000 a year, and they're doing it wrong. And again, I don't want to encourage you to do it wrong, but even if you're doing it wrong, you're going to find, because the average business owner doesn't know what he or she is doing, you're going to find that your competition is not as strong as you think it is. And if you end up doing it wrong, you're going to find you're probably still going to succeed. What we're trying to encourage you to do in this program is at least do a few of these things the way we suggest. And if you do that, and if you're competing against people that do none of them right, you're going to find both of you will probably stay in business, but you'll end up making more of a profit. You'll then be able to weather the recessions, the depressions. Why? Because of who you're competing with. You're competing with business owners that basically don't know what they're doing. Most of them don't have the tools, and the ones that do have the tools aren't using them. Now, the other method here, we said the other method of cheating, we're going to talk about that in a little while. But before I do that, let's mention the other method of accounting, because what we're talking about is the accrual method. And in the accrual method, basically what happens is we have a owner of a business, and what they do then is they accrue expenses. Each month, they not only are able to write off or expense the bills they had, but they can also accrue. And what you end up with an accrual method, you end up with a more accurate profit and loss statement. You end up with a more accurate one. We'll get into that later. When we talk about other methods of cheating in this area, what we're really talking about is what happens when you're going to buy a business. You go up to this business owner, and the business owner reflects $50,000 net profit. Say, oh boy, that's wonderful. But here's what happened. Let's set the scene. This is now January, in our example here, February. And as you go back last year, it's last October, and if you're in the seller's office, you're going to find the seller saying, hey, this year we're only going to show a profit of nothing. We're going to show no profit. We're going to show no loss. I'd like to sell this business. And what you're going to find is they'll then sit down, talk to the suppliers and vendors, and say, look, I've been paying my bills on time. Would you mind if I paid what I normally pay November, December, move it maybe to January of next year? What happens then, this business that shows no profit, by them taking $50,000 of expenses from the prior year and, say, moving them into this year expense-wise, what you're going to find is if they move $50,000 of expenses on a business that should have shown no profit, how much profit will show? That's right, $50,000. Did it really make $50,000? No. Could they make it show $100,000? Yes. They can make it show any number you want. And is it really making it? No. What's happened? You, the buyer, or the person listing the business has just been ripped off. Do they do it quite often? Unfortunately, yes. Owners are not stupid. The next thing is the inventory. And what we're saying here is sometimes they take inventory annually, sometimes more often. Sometimes it's estimated. The thing that's key here, the largest expense item in many businesses, or in most businesses, is subject to the lease control. What areas do they control least? Usually labor. And the other thing is the cost of sales. What does it cost to operate? What is the inventory? Let's take the example here that we have on the inventory and see what we have. First of all, the beginning inventory is what? $50,000. We're on 3.7 now. Under cost of sales. The next item down below, under purchases, is $200,000. And then we have an ending inventory of $50,000. What does this say, basically? Well, the way you arrive at a thing called cost of sales is you take the beginning inventory, whatever the number happens to be, in other words, how much stock do we start with? You then add in the amount that you purchased during that period, either during the month or during the year, and then you subtract the ending inventory. And if you do this and you do it properly, you'll end up with what your cost of sales were. And what do cost of sales mean? Well, basically, in this business, say it was a women's clothing store. It would mean during the year, looking at 3.7, the cost of sales were $200,000, which means we bought $200,000 worth of dresses, and we resold them for what figure? $500,000. So the cost of sales was the cost of our merchandise or our garment. And this is what happens in a retail business. If you're in a service business, you're not going to have cost of sales. Why? Because you don't have a product. All you have is the services of people. In the other example we had in the area of pricing, we used M Manufacturing. And with M Manufacturing under cost of sales, in addition to having material, what we really have in manufacturing company is what, if you'll recall? You have material, which comes in, which is raw material. You add labor to it, mark it up, and sell it, which happens in manufacturing. In a retail business, we don't have that. You have the material coming in. We add nothing to it. We just resell it. And how we make our profit? We mark it up. Add X number of dollars to it as we resell it to give ourselves a profit. Now, in this example right here, we're going to have you moving about a bit. We'll come back to page 3.1. But while we're doing this, let's turn a couple of pages, and let's turn to 3.5. You should have 3.5 and 3.7 in front of you now. And what I want to do is talk about the inventory. Now, first of all, in this example right here, if you're on 3.5, we had beginning inventory of 50,000, we had purchases of 200, and then we subtract the ending inventory to get cost of sales. That's great. But did you notice that the beginning and ending inventory are both the same? Now, what does it mean when the beginning and ending are both the same? Well, what it normally means is they didn't take the inventory. In fact, you'll see many companies that take the inventory, and it's $50,000 and 2 cents. And you'll find that it's run that 50 times in a row. And you're going to find they've estimated the inventory, or basically what they did is they didn't even take it. Now, how accurate is this? Some people are going to tell you this averages out, and that's a flat-out lie, or it's a statement made by somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. The beginning inventory is 50,000. If you then add back in purchases down below, which is about halfway down on 3.5 of 200,000, you'll notice in this example, the second part, which is the real world, we have an ending inventory of zero. Now, I've exaggerated this example a little, but let's suppose and this had happened in this business that we have here. Well, instead of having cost of sales of 200,000, what are our cost of sales? 250. If you then take this back into the example that you have on 3.7, what would happen in the real world? This business is showing an inventory cost of 200,000. What is the true inventory cost? It's 250,000. And if you build the real numbers back into the example on 3.7, instead of having a profit of 50,000, what is your profit? Zero. I don't know exactly how to approach this now, but I have to tell you this next thing. Even though we're talking about tax fraud, we find it comes up quite often. And what you're going to find is owners of businesses, when they're making out their tax statements, will take their tax statements and not want to pay a tax. And how do they avoid paying the tax? By Mickey Mousing the cost of sales. As an example, let's take 3.7. You own a business. It shows a profit of 50,000. As you get down to the end of the year, you decide you don't want to make a profit for tax purposes. Well, it's very simple. You could pay bills ahead of time, which is legitimate, and what you'd find is you'd end up not showing a profit. But on the other hand, the other way to do it is do a thing called writing down, which in some cases legitimate, but we run into a lot of business owners that in the area of cost of sales will take the cost of sales figure and adjust it. In this example right here, if your true cost of sales did happen to come to 200,000 and you wanted to Mickey Mouse it, you just make it on your statement 250. And when you do that, you wipe out your tax. Now, as you start looking at this, I want to warn you about something you're going to run into. You're going to run into businesses as you go out to look at them or to list them, and you're going to find that they're showing 50,000 inventory on the books, and when you walk into their warehouse, it looks like they have a million. Well, you're correct. They do have a million. And what they do then is to play games. And they have all this excess inventory, and if you want to figure out how much they ripped off your government for, or our government, it's the difference between the inventory that they show on their books and what they really have there. And this is Mickey Mouse. This is tax fraud. And what I'm trying to warn each and every one of you, if the seller of the business tells you that he or she wants to then run that inventory back through the business after you buy it, tell them to go somewhere. Because what they have done now is they have ripped off the federal government. I'm sure they ripped off the state government. They probably have cheated their employees. But for you, they've got a deal. What we do is we give these people a hug and we tell them we're not interested. If you get involved in these businesses, whether you're working as a buyer or whether you're working as a broker, you're going to get yourself in trouble. And if you do, don't come back to me because Hamill warned you. You're working with a person that is now guilty of felony fraud. And what I would suggest you do is stay away from them. You do not need that Mickey Mouse business. There's plenty of them around that are not playing games. But if you do it, I've warned you. I've seen many, many people in the past get in trouble. Don't do it. You don't need that business. And also, what kind of a transaction are you going to have with somebody that does this? Because, you know, if they're doing it in one area, the next thing they're going to do is rip off you, either the buyer or the agent, and you end up getting in trouble. So my word is, don't do it. Let's go back now to page 3.1 and talk about a thing called common ownership under number 3. And it says, does this profit and loss statement reflect the income and expenses of this business only? And what we run into sometimes is the owner will own two or three businesses, and what they'll end up doing is they'll run expenses from one business and another. A few years ago, we had an owner of a business that owned two different companies. One company showed a large profit, the other one showed a large loss. Why did one company show a large profit? Because the owner was running all his labor against the loss company, which means the other company that would have probably been breaking even showed a big profit. Why? They didn't have a labor figure. Was it included between the two companies? Yes. What I'm saying is you better go slowly. You better dot your I's and cross your T's. And even though we're telling you how to verify and check things as you're going analyzing businesses, you have to realize when you get down to the end, you're going to have a CPA go through the books every time and verify and re-verify everything. For those of you that don't bring the professionals in later to check the books and verify them and make sure you haven't been ripped off, you will get ripped off. The amount of money that you spend for the professionals in a business when you're buying it or putting a business transaction is worth it. Every cent is worth it. Why? A business transaction is complex. And I don't care how smart you are or how bright you are, you're going to find that you are not going to be able to keep up and you're not going to be able to be that brilliant in all the areas. So bring in other people. It's worth it. You're not wasting money. Believe me. The next area, owner benefits, perks, volcanoes. When we start talking about perks, we're talking about perquisites. And it says, see detail on the profit and loss adjustment sheet. And we're going to get into owner benefits a little later. And as we do, you're going to start to see what the perks are, or the benefits. And again, a perk is something that basically we're talking about in a large company. The president of a large company has a company car, special insurance programs, things like that. And you're going to see in large corporations, although they do have a lot of these benefits, it's nothing compared to what the small business owner takes as benefits in their business. And as we go through this a little later, you're going to find some of them are legitimate and other ones aren't. And again, we're not going to be trying to teach you the Mickey Mouse ones, but the thing is you go out to get involved in business, either buying them or listing them, you have to understand what the Mickey Mouse is. Why? Number one, if you appear to be not knowledgeable in this area, the seller is not going to be impressed with you and be fearful of working with you. And on the other hand, you have to be aware of it because you're going to have to try to determine in a little while how much profit this business is really making. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Standard accounting practice is inadequate. The average profit and loss statement is set up and used all year to lower the tax bite and not to run the business. The net profit that a business reflects is not a true measure of what the business is really producing. And I've said that a couple of times in this section. And what we're saying is the bottom line net does not really reflect what the business makes. It reflects what? It reflects the bottom line net for or the figure for tax purposes. And you can't use this to run a business, and you also can't use this to buy or sell a business. Why? Because it doesn't reflect what this should be based on. We'll mention this again because it's very important. What I'd like you to do now is you've considered these different things. What I'd like you to do now is pull out 3-9 or just turn to 3-9, and on one side you'll have 3-7, on the other side you'll have 3-9. We're now in this section going to go through the buyer's profit loss adjustment sheet. Now you're probably wondering in this program why we just didn't sit down and show you all the different accounting functions and how to put together books. And that's not our purpose. Because the purpose in this program is to show you how to analyze a business. And you're going to find in most businesses you'll have a profit and loss statement. You'll also have some sort of a bookkeeping system. And all we're doing is showing you how to check those things out. As you check those things out, you're going to say, is this all that you check? Well, this is all we're checking at this level because this is where you're going to find most of the fraud, most of the misrepresentation, and most of the things that are going to make it difficult or impossible for you to make a decision or to analyze where you're going, either as an agent for one of the two parties or as a buyer of a business.
This concludes Side 1. To continue, please turn the cassette over.